I was looking to find my Bible there, but there's one here. That's good. Getting up to preach and you can't find your Bible. It's definitely sitting on the seat. I don't know where it's gone. Good morning, everyone. How is everybody today? You seem a bit sleepy on it. Good morning, everyone. That's a lot better. So as Diane and as Melanie has talked about this morning, this year at Jam, we're looking at prayer. We're looking at what it is to talk to God. So I want to ask you a couple of questions first. Is there anyone here, put your hands up, now I'm going to ask you to be brave and be honest, who sometimes finds prayer a bit difficult? Sometimes talking to God is a bit difficult. I'm going to put my hand up because sometimes I find it a bit difficult. Or maybe is there some people here, put your hands up, if you feel like sometimes you just don't know what to pray about. You don't know how to pray. You feel like, I don't know how to pray. I've felt like that before. Or maybe there's some people here who feel like, I'm no good at praying. Like, Rebecca, I'm terrible at it. I can't pray. I'm just awful. I hear these lovely prayers on church on a Sunday morning, and my prayers sound nothing like that. Anyone who feels a bit like that sometimes? Yeah, see, I'm sure everyone here at some point has just put their hands up, which is great, because we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat, and we all have things when it comes to prayer that we struggle with and that we want to learn about. And that's the amazing thing now, because in Jam services, we're going to be looking at how it is to pray, because that's something that the disciples, these were people that followed Jesus, were some of his best friends, and they asked him, Jesus, help, teach us how to pray. And so we're going to be looking at what Jesus said to them. But before we get into that, I will have a picture that's going to come up of something I was doing. There we go. So it was my sister's birthday on Monday past there, and for her birthday, I decided I would bake her a cake. Now, we're not quite at Fiona Elliott standards here. I definitely have a lot to learn. I actually have quite a few questions for her this morning about when it comes to how she gets her cake so smooth, because, you know, it definitely is not as easy as they make it look on YouTube. And what I love about baking is that you get to follow a recipe. It's great. And the recipe tells you exactly what you need. You need eggs, you need flour, you need butter, a bit of sugar. And each recipe or each ingredient has its own specific purpose. So you need the self-raising flour so that the cake's going to rise. You need the sugar so that it tastes nice and sweet. Otherwise, that would be a bit rotten. Or maybe some savoury people in here would like that. And the great thing about recipes is that you can change and adapt the ingredients, change how much you put in if you want to change how your cake is going to be. And so it's a bit like that. See, Jesus gave his disciples, he taught them the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, there's different types and different ways that we can pray. And he gave them this model of prayer so that they could take what that prayer that he given them and that they could make their own prayers out of it. And so we're going to look over our Jam services at the different types of ways that we can pray that will hopefully help you when you're looking to talk to Jesus and you're not really sure what to say or what to do. And so today we're looking at a big word called adoration. So we're looking at what it means to pray prayers that are full of adoration. Does anyone know what the word adoration means? Give it a go. Yeah, go for it. Love? To love? Is that what you said? Love? Yeah, so adoration, when we look at the biblical, kind of the closest thing to it is worship. So when we worship something, it's about adoring or loving someone or something so much that you worship it. That's what adoration means. And so Jesus, when he was telling his disciples, teaching them how to pray, he started off the prayer, like just as Maya read this morning, he started off the prayer like this. The first thing he says is, Father, hallowed be your name. Now, that's the Luke version. In Matthew it says, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so the first two lines of talking to God is all about worshiping him in adoration out of adoring him and loving him. And so I want to make you think maybe about what is it that you adore? And I was thinking about this, and do you know something that I really adored when I was younger? There's a wee picture of her. My dog, Penny. I had, now Penny died, unfortunately. It was the day of the time when Janot first came to Marilyn. She died on the evening of Simon's institution. It was terrible. But thankfully it wasn't a sign of things to come, so that's okay. But so I don't actually have Penny anymore. But I love Penny. See, when we first got her, we had been dying to get a dog. And I just talked about Penny. I spent all my time with Penny. When she came in, I would play with her. Or when she came in, I just loved it. When she'd sit on your knee and she'd run around you. And all I would do was tell my friends about how cool my dog was. And I'd like walk her up the street casually, you know, just getting everyone, oh yeah, it's just my new dog. And I loved Penny. We all did. She was like part of the family. And if anyone here has a pet, you understand what I'm saying. If anyone here doesn't have a pet, you probably think, oh no, you're one of those loopers who talks about their pets like they're people. But they are. And I'm sure there's many kids here. Yous have pets or yous have something that you adore. Maybe there's different things that people adore. There's a couple of images coming up here. Maybe there's some people in here and they adore football. Not Liverpool, though, because they're a bit rubbish. But there's maybe some people here who love football, love sport. Maybe there's some people here, like me, who absolutely adore their pets. Maybe there's some people here who adore spending time with their mates. Maybe there's some husbands or wives, so you might not say it out loud, you just adore your spouse. You think they're the bee's knees, which is great. And so Jesus shows us here that prayer is all about adoring. What is it that we adore? And he shows us that the first thing that prayer is about is about relationship with God, and it's about adoring him and loving him above everything else, just like Melanie was saying, that he is number one. And so as we adore him, as we love him, we grow in our relationship of him, and we grow in how much we know about him and how much we know about how big and how deep and how wide his love is for us. So prayer, adoration is first and foremost, it's all about relationship, and relationship is all about knowing and being with people that we love. So the first word in the prayer that Jesus said is Father. Father. The first word. It's all about relationship. Imagine if I told you that I had a best friend. Her name was Chelsea, and she's great, and I just love her, adore her, but I don't really hang out with her, and I don't really talk to her, and I talk to her if I need help with my homework, you know, if I need to copy my maths on the bus into school, then I'll talk to her, or maybe I'll speak to her if I need some money at lunch or something like that. Doesn't really sound like a great relationship. Sure, it doesn't. Doesn't really sound like the kind of friendship that you want. Wouldn't be much of a mate. And you know what? That's not the way it is with things that we adore. Like when I think about my dog, Penny, I just wanted to spend time with her. And it wasn't about what I could get from Penny. It was just, I loved seeing her wee face when you came in and you gave her a big hug. She was just so delighted, so excited to see you. And so at its core, prayer is all about relationship. Just like you have a relationship with your mum and your dad, or you have a relationship with some of your best mates at school. So God wants a relationship with us. Just like you go and you talk to your friend at school and you tell them everything that's going on with your life, or maybe go into your mum and dad's room and you talk to them. God wants you to come to him and talk to him about not just big things, not just sad things, but little things, happy things. God wants a close relationship with us, and it tells us in the Bible that for those who believe in God, who believe in Jesus, who have received his son, that they have the right to be called children of God. That if you follow Jesus, if you love him, you are his child and he loves you. And there's nothing that can change that love. And you know what? God isn't just any father. Because some people here, maybe you didn't really have good parents. But God is a good, good father. He loves his children. And what do loving parents do? Well, Well, they love and accept us unconditionally, don't they? Because the Bible says in Jeremiah, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It says in Romans, there's nothing that can separate you from my love. He says, even at your worst, you think of something really awful you've done. God loves you just as much then as he does when you're getting 5 A stars in your well, you don't do 5 GCSEs, but 10 A stars in your GCSEs. So parents love us and accept us unconditionally. And parents provide for us, don't they? You think of how many packed lunches your mum or dad has made for you during the week at school, or the money they give you. You never have to worry about your dinner or what clothes you're going to get because your parents provide it. Good, good parents provide. Good parents want to spend time with you, don't they? Do you know, me and my sisters were all in our 20s. And just before they moved out, because they both got married, my mum would like to go to bed early on a Saturday night. She really enjoyed going to bed early on a Saturday night. And she'd say, right, that's it, I'm off to bed. You all enjoy watching TV or doing whatever you're doing. And she'd head to bed. And within about half an hour, all three of us were in her room, in her bed. And she goes, you know, I thought when you screw up a bit, I get a bit of peace. But we just love being around our mum. We love talking to our mum. We love spending time with him. I love my dad too, but he's usually watching a movie or doing something like that. But we just gravitate. We all gravitate towards our parents. We just love. And it's not that we even really do anything. Sometimes we just sit there and we chat. Sometimes we just sit there with them. We just love being around mum and dad. And God just loves to spend time with us. And good parents, they know us, don't they? See, the Bible says that God knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows everything about you. And you really want that sometimes, don't you? You just want friends that know you, that really get you, that understand you, don't you? Well, God gets you. He understands you. He's a loving father. And that's why we love to talk to him, why he loves to talk to us. See, talking to God isn't always about what can I get from God? What can God give me? What is it I need? It's just about sitting there, being with him. And sometimes I don't even have to talk. Too, sometimes I just go for a walk. And see, God's everywhere. He's with us all the time. So it doesn't matter if you're here in church or if you're in your bedroom or if you're in school. God's with you all the time. And he's always there. And so sometimes I just go for a walk and sometimes I just think about God. Sometimes I say, oh Lord, those flowers are really, really pretty today. Or, oh God, you know, I had a really tough, I remember when I had exams, I used to go on walks all the time and I used to give off to him about how hard the exam was and how then I would pray that he would make it really easy next time, but that didn't always happen. But see, I get the privilege as well of working with parents who have little babies. And you know what, one of the loveliest things is when you see a parent holding a wee tot and the tot is just smiling at their mum and dad. They're just delighted to see them. It's so cute. It is just gorgeous how much little babies. Now, they don't know, they're not always like that. There's times where they're definitely crying too. But it's lovely that wee look that they give their mum and dad, that they just adore them. And the parents too. They just love their babies. And so talking with Jesus is, first of all, it's about having a relationship with him. So talking to him and knowing that he's a good father that you can come and just talk to and be yourself with. That doesn't have to be complicated. It can be simple, like we're saying. But it's also about relationship. It's about knowing other people, isn't it? And it's about being with other people. Do you know, my mum said something really interesting. We were chatting and my mum and dad have been married for a long time. They definitely don't have a perfect marriage. I can say that first and foremost. But my mum said to me, sometimes we think that relationships are all about us. But actually, my mum said to me, you know, I get up in the morning and the first thing I think of is, well, how am I going to serve God today? But then she says, then I think, how am I going to make Clive happy? That's my dad. That's her second thought. How am I going to make him happy? How am I going to serve him? It's not, what's Clive going to do to make me happy? As much as sometimes we all think that, don't we? Sometimes I think, oh, why haven't my friends done this for me or that? But no, it's how am I going to make him happy today? And so we see in the second line, he says, hallowed be your name. That's not all, prayer isn't always about us. Though later on, we can come to God with our needs, but it's about God. And it's about, as Melanie said, that word hallowed means holy. That means set apart. That means that God is different to everyone else in your life, that he is number one. He comes above everything else. I want you to imagine now, we all know Richard here, Richard Little. If I were to go and spit in Richard's face, it's a bit gross, isn't it? What do you think would happen? Do you think he'd be happy? No, probably not. I don't imagine he would be. But he might fall out with me for a day or two. That might be it. Probably would. He'd probably be a bit like, Rebecca, what are you doing? Or he might just storm off, who knows. But he might not. He might fall out with me for a day or two. Now, imagine if I were to go and spit in the face of Simon. That might be a wee bit more serious. I might lose my job if I did that. Now, imagine if I were to go and spit in the face of Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister. That would probably be a lot more serious, wouldn't it? You'd probably have security guards who would grab me and get rid of me. Now imagine if the Queen came and I spat in the Queen's face. I'd probably get arrested, wouldn't I? Probably get arrested. And so it's about, but God that we talk to, he's even more important than the Queen. He's the King of all kings. That's how massive he is. That's how incredible he is. And it makes it even more amazing that the King of all kings, who created the universe and who is amazing, wants to be your Father, sent his Son to die so that we could pray, Father in heaven, our Father, hallowed be your name. And you know, I was looking at all the names of God. This is just some of them. And you know, when you are trying to build a relationship with someone, you want to get to know them. That's part of it. For people here, if you go out on a date with someone, maybe have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you go out on a date and you chat to them, you get to know them. And you know, when we look at all these names of God, here's just a couple of them. For example, Jesus means Savior. And we see that God is a God who wants to save. He's described as healer. God is someone who wants to heal us. There's so many reasons. When we spend time in prayer, thinking about God and hallowing his name, worshipping him and adoring him, we have so many reasons to adore him when we spend time discovering who God is. There are so many reasons. And sometimes there's a wee psalm here. This is Psalm 8. This is a psalm of adoration. Just to explain more clearly what it is that we're talking about. This psalm of adoration. Psalm 8 says this. God, brilliant Lord, yours is a household name. Nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs that drown out enemies' talk and silence atheists' babble. I look up to your skies, dark and enormous, your handmade sky jewelry, moon and stars mounted in their settings. Then I look at myself and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way? So the psalmist is just telling God, that's already things that God knows about himself. Like, I'm pretty sure God knows that he made the stars. I'm pretty sure God knows that he knows that toddlers will gurgle praise to him. He knows all this. But you know, it's really important that we remind ourselves of all these things for two reasons. There we go. Adoration, which is what we're looking at this morning, is really important because it changes our heart and it changes our eyes. So adoration changes our hearts because when we spend time talking to God, thinking about who he is and making him number one, then we begin to love him more. Because the Bible says that we love because he first loved us. So when we spend time talking to God, we start to love him more. And as we fall more in love with Jesus, then others begin to see how good he is. We begin to share it with others. And so God gets all the glory. And then adoration changes our eyes. It changes how we see things. It changes our whole perspective. And so I don't know if anyone here has seen Toy Story 4. Hands up if you've seen Toy Story 4. Good. So I'm not really going to spoil it for many people. That's okay. I don't want to spoil it for the kids because I'm definitely about to release a couple of spoilers. But does anyone know who the villain is in Toy Story 4? Does anyone remember her name? She's a real creepy looking thing. I think I actually have a picture of her maybe. Oh, there she is. Does anyone remember the name? Yeah? Gabby. She is not a nice person. Initially, that's what you think. So in Toy Story, long story short, going to summarize the story into about a couple of sentences. Gabby, there's a toy that Woody's new child has. He's called Forky, and she absolutely loves Forky. But Gabby wants to steal Woody's voice box, so she kidnaps Forky because she doesn't have a voice box. And so you just think she's this awful person. She's so nasty. She's taken Forky captive. And poor Woody, like, how's he going to get his mate back? It's terrible. She's not nice. And she has these henchmen, these creepy dolls that are up there. And they stalk Woody and they stalk all of his friends. But you know what? As the story goes on, we actually learn that Gabby is just somebody who really, really wants to be loved. And she's just a toy who really, really wants a child. And so our whole perspective on Gabby, because Forky takes some time and he talks to her and he gets to know her. And our whole perspective on Gabby changes because she's actually just a toy. And Woody actually is a very kind friend, gives his voice box over. And that's all Gabby wants. She's not actually really evil and really mean. She's a wee bit mean sometimes, what she does. But she's not actually as evil as we think. And so our whole perspective on Gabby changes in the story. And so when we spend time adoring God, talking to him, then sometimes it changes how we see circumstances we're in. Like maybe we feel really lonely in school and we feel like we have no friends. But then we learn and we talk to God and we realize that he promises to always be with us. And maybe for some of us, we feel like God has left us or that things are happening and they're totally out of our control and there's nothing we can do about it. But then we pray and we remember that God is sovereign and that he's in control of everything. And so there's this little line from a song I was listening to last night and I really like it because it talks about, basically explains how when you have a relationship with God and when you talk to him, how it changes your perspective. It says, "Now I am hidden in the safety of your love. I trust your heart and your intentions. I trust you completely. I'm listening intently. You'll guide me through these many shadows." So there's times where we don't know what's going on, but when we adore God, when we spend time saying who he is, what he's done, then it changes our perspective in those times. So I want to finish by just all of us praying a little prayer of adoration. So what I'm going to do, there's a couple of blanks left for you to think and just fill in your mind. We're not going to pray out loud. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read out this here. It says, "Lord, we adore you because you are." And I want you to think of something, of a reason why you would adore God. Maybe it's, "Lord, we adore you because you are kind." Maybe it is, "Lord, we adore you because you are good. And thank you for," think of something that you could be thankful for. So I'm going to give you a wee minute to think of that. And then I'm going to say, let us pray. And then you all just inwardly pray a little prayer. You fill in the blanks with whatever it is you want to say to God. And in a couple of minutes, I'll say amen. And that'll be me finished. Okay?